The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Dueling visits to the border yesterday by the incumbent chief executive and by the 45th president of the United States. What was the result? Could there have been a greater contrast between the two? And what does it bode for the next 9 months and for the next 4 years after that? No one better to ask than the man who supports us every Friday on national security issues and foreign policy, just for two segments, but that's not enough. The man who literally wrote the book I taught from at National Defense University on Homeland Security, Jim Carafano. But now he's tag teaming with his colleague who runs the Border Security and Immigration Center at the Heritage Foundation, Laura Reese. Welcome also to America First.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
Let's start with last Thursday. Two very different approaches to immigration security, Jim, correct?
Yeah. So, look, I'll let Laura jump on it, but I want to brag on Laura for just a second. You know, there's only two things that reasonably could have gotten done on pushing back against this really incredible immigration and border crisis, which Biden literally created. There's only two things that, honestly, you really could achieve in Washington, if we're honest with ourselves. One is you could put a bill on the table that says this is the right way to legislate on immigration. That was H.R. 2.
Mm-hmm.
And the House did that. Now, we knew that, you know, Schumer would never vote on it.
Right.
But it was the point was is to say, hey, if you had different governance in America, you could get different results. The other thing is you could impeach Mayorkas, because what he did as secretary, essentially being Biden's hatchet man, was completely irreprehensible. And this is somebody, look, I've worked with the department since it was created. I was twice an advisor on the Homeland Security Committee. Those are the only two things that could have gotten done. That woman sitting there, she's the one that got them done. All that started at Heritage. It all started with her. Her, Tom Homan, Mark Morgan, those are the people that drove those policies. So the two things that you could do to put a stake in the ground to say, if you don't like what you see on the border today, there's a different way to do that. She's the person that started it.
Well, it's quite an intro, Laura. So you have to match that. Is he true? Is that right?
Well, it was certainly a team effort. But yes, we set out to do that. And a lot of people had doubts. But we were able to pull it off with a lot of help. Kudos to Mark Green, the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee. He came in as a brand new chairman and really shook things up and was brave and taking things head on. We were told, you know, Judiciary Committee, they do impeachment. But, you know, we kept pushing to say, hey, there's plenty of impeachment to go around. Judiciary, why don't you focus on President Biden? And so Mark Green took charge on Mayorkas and got it done.
All right. So let's talk about what we've been told about the border. Number one, Mayorkas is the boss. This isn't somebody who was sitting at a university for 30 years. This isn't some political individual who was, you know, a campaign manager. This is a person who worked at the Department of Homeland Security at the highest position under the Obama administration. So it would be fair to say when he comes in and does what he did for the last 3 years, he knows exactly what he's doing, doesn't he?
Absolutely. Under Obama, he started out as the director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. A micromanager got involved in facilitating and accelerating benefits being adjudicated. He's been written up, investigated by the Inspector General regarding his involvement personally in getting investor visas awarded to his crony friends. Then he went up to be the deputy secretary under Obama. So he absolutely knows the job, knows the policies, knows how things work. And he came in under Biden fully intending to do this. And if he disagreed with it, he could have resigned. But after 3 years, he hasn't. He's just grown more deceitful about his tactics.
And every time he's challenged on the Hill and repeatedly is asked to qualify whether or not we have a secure border, and he says, yes, we have, yes, we have, yes, we have. How do you qualify those responses?
Lying under oath.
Right. because he knows what he's doing.
Yes.
And this gets us right to the question that you started with, which is contrast these two visits to the border, because that day would not have happened if the Biden administration had had their choice. Their goal was to really bluff their way through 4 years of this crisis.
So not to have to make that visit.
Not to ever address it, right?
Right.
You know, this is, you'll appreciate this because as somebody who is not just a security expert, you're also an expert on the conservative movement and changing politics and understand what real populism is. Real populism is not some crazy guy who gets everybody worked up and then they vote him in office. Real populism is listening to what the people actually want and then responding to their needs. Well, the immigration and border security debate that we've all lived with for over a decade, right? The left's response was, you're racist, right? So if you raise an issue about illegal immigration, you're racist. If you care about border security, you're racist, right? And that was to shut down the conversation. And this is the shtick, right? Is the opposing view is beyond the pale and cannot be discussed. But what's happened now is that this has metastasized to such a level that everyday Americans see in front of themselves, this is a real problem, right, and they want it addressed. And just calling people racist, although Chris Murphy tried that yesterday, that just doesn't cut it anymore, right? And so Biden's at the border for one reason, because he somehow has to get the narrative back, because that's all they've ever had from the beginning.
And what's pushed them over the edge with this complete 180 in the last month, that everything's fine, don't look at these are not the droids we're looking for, and then suddenly, you know, from Fetterman saying, why can't we use the word crisis, because there is a crisis. What was it? Was it the deaths? What was it, the mayor of New York saying New York is being destroyed? What do you think made them have to, you know, switch?
I think it's two things. Polls, I mean, they are just completely underwater on this issue. It's the number one issue in every poll right now. It doesn't matter what state you go to. And secondly, I think the fact that the House passed H.R. 2 has dragged the Senate to the table to even consider putting immigration policy changes on a funding bill that they so desperately need. And now, granted, what Senator Lankford and Schumer and the rest negotiated was a terrible bill and would not have secured the border. But I think H.R. 2 and a handful of members holding strong have dragged them to that point.
Yeah, here's the October surprise, because there's a bit of bait and switch here. Because I think this administration, for the next couple of months, is because all they have is narrative, they want to create a narrative that, oh, yeah, we're serious about the border. Now, and they'll blame Trump, right?
But, well, they're blaming the Republicans en masse.
Right, but here's what I think they're doing, and we don't have evidence for this, right? But we do know for a fact that the U.S. government negotiated with the Mexican government. I would almost put money on that. What they did is they say, hey, you got to do a brother's solid here, right? Got to help us get the numbers on the border down for the next couple of months so we can say, oh, look, even though Republicans wouldn't cooperate, even though they wouldn't give us money, we have put our sweat and tears in this, and we are bringing the numbers down. You must vote for us. But it's all a sham, right?
Well, there is precedence for this. This isn't just an empty theory from our colleagues at Heritage. I mean, there's that infamous hot mic episode with Obama just before the election. Right. What happened there? He's telling the fake president of Russia, Medvedev, who's just the stalking horse for Putin, his ruling car, God, just wait till after the election. I'll be more flexible after the election. I mean, it sounds like a redux, but in this case with Mexico. Slow the roll, and then we'll win the election, and you want us in office, right? You don't want the other guy because he'll shut the border.
But you had to pay a price for that. I mean, it's not for free, right? Right. Mexican cooperation. So
yeah.
The Mexicans they hate Texas. So they really wanted the administration to go after Texas, the government. Yeah. They want them to be soft on all their buddies in Venezuela and Cuba. And we saw this a massive engagement with Venezuela. And, of course, Venezuela turned around and stabbed them in the face, right? Because we do all these gimmies to Venezuela. And then they say, oh, yeah, we're not taking back any illegal immigrants. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard the story? I really think it's true because I saw it on X, so it must be true, right? That crime in Venezuela gone down.
Right.
Because all of the criminals, so many criminals have come to the United States.
We'll talk about what's happening in Venezuela. We had an amazing hour-long briefing with Joseph Humeyer, who told us about the collaboration between Venezuela, Russia, and China on illegal immigration, which is absolutely shocking. We're talking to Laura Reese, who heads the Border Security and Immigration Center at Heritage and senior counsel for the president at Heritage, our good friend Jim Carafano. Please join today, heritage.org. And if you enjoy the deep dive with real experts such as Jim, such as Laura, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, whichever platform you prefer. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Do leave us a 5-star review. Share the links with your friends so the truth gets out there. And if you want sanity back, if you want a secure border, if you want national security, then tell the world who you are. Fly the flag. It says, I stand with 45. Get the T-shirt. You made number one. We know it's a reality. We are hurtling towards a police state. It's the FBI T-shirt jointly released with Chris Plant, but this one stands for Fascist Bureau of Intimidation. All that and so much more. All America First. Made in America at SebGorkaStore.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, SebGorkaStore.com. And don't forget to please support the president directly. That is DonaldJTrump.com, DonaldJTrump.com. Greetings, this is Dr. Sebastian Gorka from the Midas Gold Group War Room. The MAGA veterans at Midas point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank. While the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank, it belongs to you. This is your wake-up call to what the Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do, a controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms, a literal digital concentration camp replete with social sanctions. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call and look into the opportunities that gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Call veteran-owned Midas Gold Group today, 855-322-GOLD, or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. That's 855-322-GOLD, or just go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful, Midas Gold Group, MAGA, and proud of it. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Thankfully, the Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls, and in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. Call 855-374-4767 right now, or go to SebGorka.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've pledged to raise $35,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to SebGorka.com or call 855-374-4767 to make your best gift right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom.
Joe Biden will never say Lakin Riley's name, but we will say it and we will remember it. We're not going to forget her. It's been just a horrible story that we've had to live with for the last few days. It's hard to believe. And her parents are just, they can never be the same. Great people.
There's one comparison, just the physical comparison. If you haven't seen it, it's on my social media pages of Joe Biden doddering at the border, having to be physically assisted by officers, by agents of CBP. And then President Trump, who actually said, well, I've called the family of Lakin Riley. Lakin Riley's name wasn't even mentioned by Joe Biden, despite the fact that her funeral on Friday had thousands of people come out onto the streets of Atlanta. Why? Because this has become a serious issue for all Americans, not just those in border towns or border states. So can you give us a picture, Laura, as a professional, politics aside, election year aside, can you just give us a snapshot of what things looked like under the Trump administration, as you know, regards national sovereignty in the border, especially under Title 42, and what it looks like today? How big is the chasm between those two?
The chasm's huge. We had true border security under the last administration. At the tail end with COVID in particular, we had something called Title 42, where the border agents could just turn people back.
Because there was a public health issue.
Right. That was based on public health. But what this border crisis under Biden has shown us is those agents need a general purpose authority. So if they don't have control over part or all of the border, that authority gets triggered. And again, that they can turn people back, not just for public health reasons. But Joe Biden, during campaign debates, he said, if you're an asylum seeker, come on in. He telegraphed to the world that he was going to open the border, and day one he did it and unleashed complete chaos. Whether it was stopping the wall construction, yeah, halting the Remain in Mexico program, which was a complete game changer under President Trump, ending the agreements, cooperative agreements we had with El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala, which says if people are fleeing for their lives, they need to apply for asylum in the first safe country in which they enter, not country shop and come to the U.S. And if someone's going to do that, we're going to send them back to that first safe country.
Let's just stop on this for a point, because this is a point of international law. If you're an asylum seeker, mm-hmm, the expectation is that you must request asylum in the first country it is safe for you to do so in. You can't travel from Iran through Turkey into Europe, then to Mexico, and then come to America and then request asylum. I mean, that makes the whole thing a circus, no?
Right. And that
means you're an economic migrant who's just picking.
Exactly. That means you wanted to come here all along, and claiming asylum is a convenient tool to defraud, to get in, and then to stay here. And so that those two, the Remain in Mexico and the cooperative asylum agreements we had with the country, those countries really halted a lot of asylum fraud and prevented significant illegal immigration in the first place. Whereas Joe Biden is letting them in, encouraging asylum fraud,
yeah,
releasing them, not detaining them, which is a violation of the Immigration Act. They are free to go wherever they want. The taxpayers are paying for their plane tickets and bus tickets through non-governmental organizations that have built a very secretive infrastructure to carry this out. And then they will stay here and not be removed, at least under this administration. But certainly President Trump has spoken about deporting a lot of people.
I'm going to get to that later in the hour. Jim, I've got a question for you that's a little bit different, because how long have you been in the cesspit that is in D.C.? How many decades?
About 2.5.
Okay. So you should know something about this, or help me out here. And this isn't a political question. This is like a strategy question. This is self-destructive. This is political suicide for an incumbent regime.
Right.
Why are they doing it?
Yeah. So this is actually, and you know me, I do policy, not politics,
yeah,
right?
But I'm asking you the big picture.
Right. But you have to understand the landscape in which policy is executed. Because you ask the question, why are you doing a policy that's just nuts, right?
Right.
I got to be honest with you. I don't think they care if they lose the election.
What?
I'm serious.
Because, so what's the strategic end state?
No,
terminology.
Right.
Right? Ends ways means.
No, because think about it. If Trump is a one-term president, right? If he wins,
right,
that means they spend 4 years demonizing Trump. They don't have anybody else to run right now.
Uh-huh.
So they will pocket everything they gained. They'll fight Trump tooth and nail for 4 years.
Right.
And in 4 years, they'll have another sock puppet to run. So I don't think losing this election is the end of the world.
Wow.
Because it'll be 4 years of the death of democracy. It'll be 4 years of every time Trump, sneezes, it'll be the death of democracy, right?
But hasn't it done? But because there's this kind of delicious irony,
right,
that in 2016, with a little oversimplification, he won because of the border,
right,
and now 8 years later, it looks like he's going to win because of the border.
Right.
So they've shot themselves twice in the foot.
No, but think about this as eyes on the prize, right?
Right.
The prize is power and global governance.
Mm.
The prize is telling everybody in the world how to live their lives. So if you think about this, what does border immigration, which at the end of the day is the right for mass migration.
Yeah.
The right for anybody in the world to live anybody in the world.
Yeah.
Which can only be managed by a global government.
Right.
What is climate change? It has nothing to do with climate.
It's power.
Right? It's about having the ability to control how power is done. What is gender? It has nothing to do with being nice to trans people.
Right.
It's about having the ability to control who can you talk about and how can you talk about them? So we're getting ready to pass hate laws that if you don't like drag queen shows, or you say, I think there are two genders, that you have just committed a crime and can go to prison, right?
As Canada just did.
Right. So it's all about, and look, you know me, I came out of the military. I don't have politics. You know, I watched crazy conspiracy theories, and I thought, oh, look, crazy conspiracy theories. You know, people that, I didn't come to this conclusion by listening to crazy conspiracy theories. I come to this conclusion by doing exactly what you did. Is somebody is trying to do something, and you're assuming that they're rational, not idiotic. What is the rationale for doing that, and what does the evidence tell you? And the evidence tells you there is no logic to immigration and border security because it costs the country easily $500 billion. Yeah. You have crime, you have the next 9/11, you've got, we could have Title 42 tomorrow because there are so many diseases coming across the border that legitimately any government could say, no illegal migration because we're worried about communicable diseases. Why would you do all that? And for only one reason, because it puts power in the hands of a select few.
How do you feel? I feel great. And one of the reasons I believe I feel better is because I take Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Balance of Nature receives over 1,000 success stories every single month from hundreds of thousands of customers who've purchased billions of capsules of their fruits and vegetables over the past 20 years. You should check it all out on their website. Their products are gluten-free and non-GMO, and they contain no added sugars or synthetics. If you're looking for something to make you feel better naturally, you should definitely try Balance of Nature today. Whether you order online or call them direct, you must use the promo code GORKA to get this special offer of 35% off. Call them on 800-2468-751 and use discount code GORKA, or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code GORKA to get 35% off.
I'd like to understand from you what Trump-era immigration policies have been banned, ended, reversed, and if any investigations are underway by you.
So we have rescinded so many Trump immigration policies, it would take so much time to list them.
That was the Secretary of Homeland Security 3 years ago with a piece of video that I hope will go viral. You can find it on my social media. Repost it. They admit on camera they rescinded too many Trump-era immigration policies to even mention in an interview. Find it on our social media. Just look for Seb Gorka or Sebastian Gorka on all the usual platforms, Truth Social, Twitter, X, you name it, Facebook, Instagram. Don't forget, you can watch the show. This is a video program as well on your Roku, your Fire Stick, or just get the Salem News Channel app. And for my latest article, I've been popping them out with some regularity at my Substack. That's sebastiangorka.substack.com. That's sebastiangorka, one word, .substack.com. And please do follow our friends JJ Carafano on Twitter and Laura, L-O-R-A, Laura underscore Reese. That's R-I-E-S, both of the Heritage Foundation. So explain that clip to me, Laura. I thought we spoiled everything and we left a disaster. So what were the Trump-era regulations that they had to undo?
Well, it was remain in Mexico. It was the wall construction. It was ending asylum fraud, whether it was those cooperative asylum agreements with the other countries or requiring that someone be returned to a safe country. It was the public charge rule, which says you can't be a charge to the public if you're going to come here temporarily or even
permanently. Explain that. What does that mean?
So public charge goes back to the 1800s, which said if you're going to come here, you either need to stand on your own 2 feet, be self-sufficient, or have family members who are going to sponsor you financially.
So you can't be a drain.
So you can't become a drain and take welfare and become a public charge. Under the Trump administration, we really tightened that rule. And immediately Biden undid it and loosened it further. So, not only has he opened the border, but he is turning this into a welfare state, trying to give all sorts of welfare benefits and downstream benefits to help illegal aliens live here longer.
What, from the point of view of national security, Jim, is the big picture that nobody talks about?
So the number one thing that we really have to wrap our heads around, and how the problem is different than it's ever been before, and certainly much different even from when Obama was president, was because we have so loosened up and so encouraged illegal migration and really made it profitable, we're seeing all the illegal migration routes, all the human trafficking routes around the world reorient to the United States.
Yeah. So we are the magnet.
Right. So Africa, the Middle East, Asia, and particularly China, all those people now are coming. So there are places around the world where there are literally travel agencies where you go and you book your travel to illegally migrate to the United States. The first thing that has to, I know we can talk about border security and deporting people and all this stuff. The number one thing an administration has to do as soon as they come in is they have to shut that down. Because if these routes become regularized and normalized, it'll never stop. And even under the most cautious conservative estimates, if we just leave these things open for a period of time, we will get 500 million people here.
Yeah.
And so people who don't do the math, there's 330 million Americans in the United, give or take. 500 million people could wind up here. And the numbers, and Laura's the expert on the numbers, they're not increasing arithmetically. They're increasing exponentially.
Right.
So it's not like you got one guy from China today.
It's a hockey stick.
And you get two guys tomorrow. And soon it'll get out of control. And that's why the next 12 months are so really, really crucial.
We're talking to Jim Carafano and Laura Reese of the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. If an hour with experts like this isn't enough, or 15 hours of radio with me every week, you know what you have to do. Join us July 4th. It's our Patriots Alaska cruise to the most beautiful state of the Union. I've never been to Alaska. I've never even been on a cruise. Especially if you missed our trip to Israel a year ago, this is for you. 230 cabins already gone. Check out the amazing itinerary. Join me and hundreds of your fellow Patriots on the trip of a lifetime. Katie will be there, Jennifer Horn, Mike Gallagher, Chris DeGaulle. You know it's going to be fun. Go to sebgorka.com and click on the Patriots Alaska Cruise banner. That's SEBGORKA, sebgorka.com and the Patriots Alaska Cruise banner. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Thankfully, the Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls, and in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. Call 855-374-4767 right now, or go to sebgorka.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've pledged to raise $35,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to sebgorka.com or call 855-374-4767 to make your best gift right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom.
This issue will destroy New York City. Destroy New York City. We're getting 10,000 migrants a month.
Strange. Now, Democrat mayors have problems. They've woken up to the issue of sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. The irony is so thick, you could cut it with a knife. Laura, you're the director of border security and immigration issues at the Heritage Foundation. Can you explain two things? How this is now a geopolitical enterprise. When we have Joseph Humira here from the Center for a Secure and Free Society, explain how China and Russia are working with Venezuela to ship people into our hemisphere through Mexico. This isn't just random people leaving the favelas. This is a geopolitical conspiracy, correct?
It certainly appears that way. And just talking about the Chinese, for example, pre-Biden, Customs and Border Protection would apprehend 1,000 Chinese nationals per month nationwide. Now they're averaging 7,000 a month. They've even hit one month at 8,000. So you want to talk about a hockey stick? That is what the numbers just for Chinese nationals.
And that's not a nation that borders America last time. I'm not that good at geography, but China and America, not exactly contiguous.
No. And so given how active the Chinese Communist Party is, and there are many tactics in the U.S., whether it's espionage or, you know, stealing trade secrets, Confucius Institutes, the list goes on, we have to assume that they are behind this. The Chinese nationals that are coming often will take different routes around the Darien Gap, around the most dangerous pathways that the rest of the foreign nationals are taking. Why is that? Who's paying for that? This seems highly organized. It is not coincidental. And U.S. needs to act like
it's real.
Yeah.
Jim, let's use a military phrase here. For the last decade or more, you know, unit commanders, especially in theater, have something called the red team officer, somebody who has to think like the enemy. If you're in CENTCOM, they're thinking like ISIS. If you're in Europe, you're thinking like the Kremlin. How do the bad guys look at open borders, whether it's terrorists or whether it's, you know, bad actors like North Korea? How do they look at this as an opportunity?
Well, that is a really, really great question because, again, you know, we tend to kind of get stuck in our frameworks and don't leave them. So we all think about terrorism on National Security Board, the next 9/11, terrorists coming across. That of course, is a really viable option.
Right.
But what we're seeing now is a new phenomenon, and it's called the weapon of mass migration. Right. So not the weapon of mass destruction, it's the weapon of mass migration. It's having the capacity to destabilize a country by flooding it with people.
Right.
And if people think that this is some kind of James Bond movie or something, first of all, the Russians have already tried this. They tried it through Belarus. They tried to flood people into Central Europe. They've done that. It's been tried in Syria, where they threatened about flooding people into Western Europe.
Yeah.
If people think that, first of all, I don't know the current population of China. I'm sure many of them would be happy to leave. I'm sure the Chinese would be happy to get rid of part of them. There's going to be 500 million people born in Africa in the coming decades. That is a population which can be moved either forcefully or enticed.
Or just exploited.
And so the reality is it's not just about us and our communities and if you want a stable global order, you need to abolish the right to migrate. You need to abolish the exploitation of asylum and fraud, and you need to shut down the capacity of countries to move masses of population to destabilize other populations. So the massive irony here is everything Biden has done has been under this thing of empathy, humanitarianism, taking care of people. What he has done is perpetrated one of the greatest threats to humankind.
Well, and he's become an ally to the traffickers, somebody who colludes with the traffickers.
Laura should give you the numbers on what these people are making on the traffickers.
Oh, it's, 8,000 per head. If you're Chinese, it can go up to tens of thousands of dollars per head. And then once here, it's not like their lives get better. Then they have to pay that off.
Right.
So then
they're
subjected
they're basically, slaves.
Sex trafficking or slave-like conditions.
So we're in the tens of trillions of dollars. And the cheapest thing is to actually move people. It's way cheaper than drugs.
Right.
So it's the most profitable thing the cartels are doing now. And then they take all that profit and they pour it back in other stuff.
And this administration is their accomplice. I want to ask you the most important question, I think, in all of this. And it has to do with, how do we fix it? And, Mark Morgan is a good friend. He was my wife's colleague at DHS. And I asked him, so if we have sanity back in the White House, how do we deport illegals who came here? And Mark's stock answer, which I love, is one by one. Now, here, there's this issue that they didn't come here, quote unquote, illegally, because the Biden administration gave them this cover. You download the CBP-1 app, you're sitting in Mexico, and you pre-clear yourself, and therefore, when you come here, you've got your immigration number, and here's your $10,000, here's your phone, and here's your plane ticket. Isn't it going to be tied up in the courts for 20 years, the argument, Biden said they're not illegals, therefore, or what is the solution to millions of illegals and having to send them back to where they came from? Do we have one?
Well, one tool that Secretary Mayorkas has used, also in violation of the Immigration Act, is parole.
Yes.
And it's this pseudo in-between category. It was supposed to be rarely used, intended for someone if they have an urgent humanitarian reason to come here, like emergency surgery, or a significant public benefit. They're going to testify in a big criminal case.
It was super rare in the past.
Yes. And it's supposed to be issued case by case. And as soon as you complete your surgery, testify in your trial, you're gone. Secretary Mayorkas is handing this out across the board, and with it, work authorization. And so day one, those roles need to be terminated and the work authorization terminated. I mean, if you think about it, illegal aliens basically want five things when they come here. They want to enter, they want to remain here, they want to work here, they want to send money home, and they want to bring family here. Mm-hmm. So you need to remove those, and people will self-deport. You don't have to deport 7 million, 11 million.
So by making it not lucrative for them to stay here, you think the majority of the 8, 10, 15 million will eventually sell off?
If they can't work here, if they can't make money, the risk calculation changes.
Right.
And therefore their behavior changes.
Jim?
Certainly you'll have to deport a lot more, but people will also act accordingly.
Such a key point, because you know people say, well, we're going to deport the criminal aliens. Well, that's just not going to cut it, right? So two things by large-scale deportation. Number one is you send a message to people. It's not easy to come here anymore,
right.
And people are going to be less willing to fork over their $10,000 to come here. The second thing is, and we have data from this because it definitely happened during the Trump years, people will self-deport just because it was actually easy for them to come here. It's honestly just as easy for them to go home. This is not, they're not going back to a death squad.
Right.
They're just going back to their, you know, to their country to live. So when you start putting out people out of here in big numbers, it's going to massively change the calculus. And that's the important thing about the strategy.
Did you know that 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks? That's got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. Why I haven't gained 1 pound of my 42-pound weight loss back. Why Jeff, my producer, decided to start the program. Most people blame their failure on a lack of time, motivation, and a loss of zeal. PhD makes it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They are masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time, and you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides, so you stay excited. Do something different this year and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, 864-644-1900. To get started or online at myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. The number 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com.
This passed far too quickly. I think we have to spend even more time on this issue. So grateful for Jim spending more than just his usual Friday segments with us and bringing Laura in as well. I've got one question each for you as we close our discussion here one-on-one. Please follow Laura and Jim on social media and join the Heritage Foundation today. That's heritage.org. Jim, for those who are sitting in, you know, Massachusetts or North Dakota, why should they care?
Oh, because it's impacting their communities, too. When they say every state is a border state, that's become so trite. It's literally unforgivable. And the other thing is here's the other reason why they should care. They know it can be fixed. It was fixed by the last administration. Just going back to those policies will fix the problem they have. So when you have a problem and somebody offers you a fix that you know works, that's why people should care.
And to you, Laura, what is, different question.
Oh, okay.
What has to happen if there's the election, if God willing we do our part, President Trump comes back, what needs to happen in the first 24 hours, the first week? What is instantly fixable and has to drop with executive orders instantly?
Allowing CBP to do its job, secure the border, allow ICE to do its job. So you seal that border. You allow agents to turn people back, reinstitute, remain in Mexico, resume the wall.
Because walls work, right?
They absolutely work. Just ask Joe Biden. his beach house in Delaware.
Right.
And start significant deportations.
Okay.
Yep.
We haven't spoken big picture, national security, global national security. Do a quick pitch for your publication from Heritage, Jim.
So one of the things that we do is something called the Index of U.S. Military Strength. So it's the only comprehensive unclassified assessment of U.S. military capability. We publish it every year. It's all online. It's like 500 pages. But what's important about it is it's not just the hardware. It also assesses what our friends and allies do in every theater. And it looks at what do the bad guys do. And so what you have is this objective assessment, because we grade it in the same way every year for 10 years, of how better protected are you than you were the year before. And I don't want to give away the, you know, but the reality is if among all the problems that we've talked about, if you look at Biden's stewardship of the U.S. military over the last 3 years, it is a constant line of decline.
I'm not sure we could use the word stewardship to describe it. Download it. It's free. Heritage.org. Follow our friends JJ Carafano on Twitter. X is such a silly name. And Laura Rees. That is Laura, L-O-R-A underscore R-I-E-S. And if you enjoy the show, make sure you're following the podcast. Follow us on social media. And most important of all, don't forget to join us for our Patriots Alaska Cruise July 4th weekend. Book today before there are no cabins left. June 29th to July 6th, we will be traveling through the most beautiful state of the Union, and we'll be hanging out with patriots who love this republic just as much as you do. Check out the itinerary at sebgorka.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Book your cabin today. And for my latest article, go to the Substack, sebastiangorka.substack.com. You've been listening to America First One-on-One. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
I'm not confident that that will produce a result that's good for American democracy.
This is actually what I had been concerned about. I had been concerned that should it go to the Supreme Court, they would rule this way.
I'd laugh if it weren't so sad.
My next guest says Donald Trump is still an oath-breaking insurrectionist. Do you have confidence in the Supreme Court? Do you think this court is partisan?
The court itself may have overstepped.
The court went way further than it needed to go.
Our colleague Melissa Murray has called this Supreme Court the YOLO court.
The criticism of the court is that they're playing interference.
Not since Bush v. Gore have we seen a court that's had this many opportunities to interfere in the election.
The headline here is this is a unanimous ruling, but if you scratch the surface just a little.
This is a 5-4 ruling on part of it.
This is actually a 5-4 decision.
It's 5-4.
Trump will take this, spin it, spread the misinformation, disinformation on it. So it's a win for them.
He's on the ballot and voters will vote. And he looks like he's headed to become the Republican nominee for president.
You can't save a people from themselves. If they're determined to reelect him after he organized that insurrection, then there's nothing to stop the people from doing that.
I may be showing my age here. Eric, what is YOLO? This is the YOLO Supreme Court? Well, what does that mean?
YOLO is an invention of my generation, millennials. It stands for You Only Live Once. The kind of thing you basically shout right before you skydive out of a plane or something.
Okay. What has that got to do with the highest court in the land deciding that Americans should be able to choose their president?
Oh, it has nothing to do with that. That was just that host just trying to sound hip. You know, what is up, fellow kids? YOLO, XD, that kind of thing.
And Jeff, who was the mustachioed guy at the end? Who's that pollster out of, what is it, University of Virginia? What happened to him? He's gone totally TDS.
You know, what is his name? It's Larry
something. Larry
something,
something, right?
Sabato?
Yes. Sabato, yes, good for you, Eric. He was like kind of normal for a while, right?
He used to be like a lot of people that were kind of normal. They were kind of on both sides a little bit until Trump came along, and then he just absolutely hates Trump now.
He's a pollster. Why would you go TDS? You're supposed to be a math guy, right?
You would think, but I don't know. I don't get it.
God, these people are so weird. Welcome, dear friends. I think it's Tuesday. I think it's Supity-Dupity Tuesday. How many states? 15 states are voting today in their primaries. Will Nikki Haley win her first state? Because, by the way, the District of Columbia, it ain't no state. So she may have got 1,200 votes here, but it doesn't matter. She's still a loser. Just take the L, Nikki. It's going to be a big night. Salem will be covering it on the Salem News Channel with our guests, with Mike Gallagher. Who else is going to be hosting it? Andrew Wilkow. Super Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, all through the night. Make sure you're there for real-time results and in-depth analysis. One person we won't be having on the show is George Conway. He had a little bitty, itty-bitty meltdown after yesterday's Supreme Court decision. Cut six.
Somehow, insurrectionists are completely immunized from any kind of federal action to apply Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. I just don't see it in the majority opinion. And maybe it was there in a draft. I don't know. But I can't make heads or tails, frankly, out of the concurring opinions any more than I can make heads or tails out of the majority opinion. It's just, shoddy legal work all around by all the justices.
Oh, Jeff. George Conway. If George Conway says it's shoddy legal work, one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project, along with John Weaver, who likes to have sex with underage men, if he says it's shoddy legal work, well, I mean, we should just cancel the Supreme Court, shouldn't we?
And he's the same guy that was completely wrong on both impeachments. Remember, he said that Trump was going to be impeached because he broke the law. He also pushed the Russian collusion thing for about still does it for 7 years. He's been pushing that, too.
But hang on. I mean, you do know that you can ignore the Senate. I mean, for Democrats, the impeachment is just the lower house, and actually convicting the person in the Senate, that's like a little detail. Did you forget that, Jeff? I mean, conviction. I mean, who needs a conviction?
Well, exactly. Because plus, they get to say two times impeached president. They love that.
They love
saying
that.
It twice. Yeah.
All right. Now you're a sports guy. Who is Charles Barkley? He looks like a rather strong chap. Who's he?
He's a famous basketball player. Played in the NBA for a while, and then he was popular when he played, but then he's even more popular because he's been doing the commentating for like the last 30 years. He's kind of like the face of the NBA in their big pregame and postgame show.
So is he like, you know, the OG woke NBA guy?
Not really. He's actually more in the middle than you think, but
what?
Not in this clip, yes.
Really?
Yes.
All right, well, let's play the clip. This is Charles Barkley on CNN talking about how he has great respect for people who politically disagree with him and who may have a different choice in headgear. Charles Barkley.
Big sigh.
First of all, I'm just going to say this. If I see a black person walking around with Trump mugs, I'm going to punch him in the face.
Charles.
Gail.
You really can't say that because, A, you don't mean that.
I mean that sincerely. I'm going to just tell you something.
And then you will be arrested for assault. And then what?
I'm going to bail myself out and go celebrate.
A couple of things to note there. Number one, why is the left allowed to say that? Oh, because they normalize violence. From BLM burning down churches and $2 billion worth of damage to business owners across America, to Antifa cold cocking people from behind with bicycle locks. Yeah, the left, they love violence. Not Republicans. Name me one, just one conservative commentator on a mainstream outlet. That was CNN with Gayle King, of course, who says, yeah, I'm going to punch that Democrat. If I see one of those BLM signs, if I see one of those rainbow signs, I'm going to punch him in the face. There isn't one. You literally can't show me one. But on the left, whether it's Maxine Waters saying, surround that. If you see a Trump cabinet member in public, you surround them, you harass them. Remember what happened to Sarah Huckabee Sanders, my White House colleague? Who was ejected from a restaurant in Virginia because she happened to work for Donald Trump. The Red Rooster. Do you remember that story, Jeff? The Red Rooster restaurant, Eric? Do you remember that?
It was the Red Hen.
Red Hen. Red Thank Hen. You. Let's not cast aspersions on the wrong eating establishment. The Red Hen. Man, these guys have got it all on their fingertips. This is impressive. This must be the America First show. Or whether it's the Democrat leader of the upper chamber, the Senate, literally standing outside of the Supreme Court and by name threatening the president's nominees. Gorsuch, he said, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, you will reap the whirlwind if you go through with that decision. What does that mean, Chucky? Reap the whirlwind? Are you going to lynch them because they disagree with you? Oh, and here's a problem now. It was a 9-0 decision. We should make a T-shirt. 9-0 with a beaming face of the president. I guess you hate your Democrat Supreme Court associate justices as well. Oh, dear, the irony. Mr. Barkley, are you going to punch Elena Kagan in the schnoz as well? That's the Democrat Party. They're a bunch of lunatics. And we've only just begun. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you want sanity back in the White House, if you want stability and prosperity, there's only one flag to fly. It's the I Stand With 45, Trump 2024. Get all your America First gear at sebgorkastore.com. I found out this morning the number one item, it's not even the Trump gear, it's the Biden eating his ice cream. Dementia Joe has got to go T-shirt. Get yours today. All of my books as well at sebgorkastore.com. That's SEBGORKA store.com. And support the president directly at donaldjtrump.com. I've got a brand new article coming up on my Substack today. The real reason they hate Donald Trump. You'll like it. DonaldJTrump.com. That's DonaldJTrump.com to support him. And my Substack is SebastianGorka.substack.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.